Hello and welcome to Raising Saints, the show for Catholic parents. I'm your host, Katie Wyatt, and you are listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Here on Raising Saints, we talk to teenagers about the topics that matter most, and we invite you, parents, to listen in on our conversation. We hope and pray that in joining us, you'll gain insight, wisdom, and courage to have these conversations with your own kids. So today on our program, we're talking about awesome Catholic parents. And listeners, hopefully, we're talking about you today. We're going to get advice from our teenagers as to what's worked well in forming them to be the awesome Catholic teenagers that they are. So we're going to find out what things their parents have done right to bring them to this point today. So I'm going to have them introduce themselves now. Why don't you tell us your name and where you go to church?
I am Gabriel, and I go to church in St. John Newman, St. John Newman, Sunbury.
My name is Matt, and I go to the Church of the Resurrection.
I'm Erica, and I also go to the Church of the Resurrection.
Great. Well, thank you all for being here. I know your parents. They are, in fact, awesome Catholic parents, so you're the right kids for this show today. But I want to ask, before we really get started, if you had to choose which of the following has had the greatest influence on your faith life, would you choose teachers or friends or maybe a religious or ordained, you know, a priest or somebody like that, or your parents, or would you choose someone else? Do you want to hear those choices again? Or do you already know?
I know.
Okay.
I would definitely say, well, my family as a whole, my parents and my siblings included.
Okay.
Even like grandparents, just everyone in my family has been super influential on me regarding my church life.
Okay. Matt, Gabriel, any other?
Yeah, I would say my family by far, for sure.
Absolutely, my family, yeah.
Why is that? Why is it family that's most influential rather than friends or teachers or...
Because I think your family and your parents are the people that love you the most and know you the most. And I mean, it's a domestic church, so it's where you grow up and where you first start to learn about your faith and where you continue to learn about your faith every day with the people that you love, you know, so...
You know what? I think that's really good for parents to hear. It's so good for parents to hear all three of you say that your parents and your family were most influential in your faith formation. Because sometimes we parents don't believe that we're really all that influential in our kids' lives because there's so many outside influences. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for affirming that and confirming that for our listeners. That's important information. I want to focus on four areas today. I want to focus on worship, on prayer, on service, and on morality, because I think those are the four issues that really form us, really reflect our faith the most, and the four areas that our faith really impacts the most. So let's start with worship, going to Mass. What is your, or what has been your family routine in terms of worship, in terms of Mass? Do you have a specific routine? Do you all get up at the same time? Does someone always lose a shoe and make you late? What is your routine?
Well, for my family, we have a lot of people that play sports in our family, so we tend to like choose different Mass times. We're not always at the same Mass, but we always do the same things before going to Mass. Like, I know on Sunday mornings, we like to sleep in, or at least me and my siblings do, and my dad's always waiting for us with the car outside very patiently. And then on, like, Saturday nights, we like to go out to eat after, just little things with our family.
Okay.
On Sundays, I know that my family and I, we just kind of, like, get up whenever we do. And my dad always makes us breakfast. It's really not that significant. I just thought I'd share that.
No, that is significant because when I was growing up, my family would go to Mass. My next question was, are there any fun traditions your family has surrounding Mass, right? So when I was growing up, we would go to Mass. And we would go out afterwards either for donuts or when the donut shop closed, then we would go to the candy shop and then we would go to my grandma's for fried chicken. You know, it was a whole family day and we weren't always so keen on the Mass part necessarily, you know, but we didn't ever complain about going. I mean, it was a happy day. It was a fun day. It was a family day. So I'm just wondering, like, Erica, you said your family goes out for dinner if you go on Saturday. Matt, your dad makes you breakfast on Sunday. So what are there any of those other traditions, like Sunday Mass traditions or surrounding Mass traditions that your family does? Or you already named them, I guess.
Yeah, we just usually just come home, come back to our house. But, you know, try to make always make Sunday a family day and spend time with the family after we get back from Mass. Or I have three older siblings that are all married and have children. So lots of times we'll get together with them all at somebody's house and hang out on Sunday. So
emphasis for all of you has been on family in regard to going to Mass. It's a family thing. It's something you all do together. How was Mass presented to you growing up? Was it, this is something we have to do, or was it, this is something we get to do, or was it not even really discussed? You just did it? Was there a specific, I don't know, feeling, I guess, that your parents presented to you about the Mass? Does that question make sense?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For my family, we just went to Mass. Like, there was no option. It wasn't that we dreaded going to Mass. It was just part of our weekly routine. On Sundays, we go to Mass, or on Saturday, we go to Mass. It wasn't more of, you have to go to Mass, or, hey, look, we're going this week. It was just something that was, like, molded into my life, something we always did.
It wasn't even something you questioned one way or the other.
No, not at all.
Anyone want to add anything to that?
It's just something you do, yeah.
Yeah. How have your parents fostered and nurtured your understanding, not only of Mass, but of the Eucharist? Like, have there been are there things that stick in your mind about what your parents have taught you or what they've modeled for you about Mass or about the Eucharist?
I think so, definitely. I know whenever I was little, like, sometimes my mom, you know, I'd be eating, when I was a real little kid, like, you know, 2, 3, or 4, I'd be like eating a snack or coloring pictures or something in Mass. But my mom would always make sure that I would kneel and always make sure that it was important to kneel during the consecration. And she'd always point out the bells to me, like, the bells are ringing. That means Jesus is, you know, the bread and the wine are turning into Jesus' body and blood. And that just always stood out to me. And especially, I think, like, after Mass was over, lots of times we would go and we would light some candles, or we would go pray before one of the statues of Mary, or we would go look at the nativity scene during Christmas, or go look at the crucifix, or talk about the tabernacle or something like that. And just those memories of my family, you know, like taking time after Mass to go say more prayers or to explain things inside the church and stuff when I was really little, really had a big impact on me.
So there was a lot of explanation for you all throughout, rather than just, we just go and do it and we don't talk about it, we don't ask questions.
Yeah.
There was a lot of input given and taking it kind of to the next level.
Yeah.
Anything for you guys, Erica or Matt?
I like to think that my mom was my Sunday school teacher when I was younger. And she was the one that taught me how, this is how you do Eucharist. This is how you prepare yourself when you're going up to receive the Eucharist. And I remember when I was little that my parents would help me practice at home, like before my first communion. So I always think of my parents were the ones that taught me this is what you do before receiving Eucharist, and I think that's pretty cool.
That's very cool. That's how it's supposed to be, too.
Right.
Okay, so it's no secret that a lot of teenagers don't really dig Mass, aren't really into going to Mass. But you guys all are, you like Mass, you like going. I mean, I'm sure you have your days, like everyone else, where you're kind of not 100% connected, but what made the difference for you? Like, why do you enjoy Mass or like Mass or not mind going to Mass when other Catholic teenagers don't?
I really dig the sense of community that you get while you're there. Mm-hmm. Everyone is there for the same reason as you, and it just gives you strength. And that's what I love about it.
You don't feel like you're all alone in your faith.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Whereas sometimes in the world, you can sort of feel like you're all alone in the faith, I think. You know, when you're looking around and everyone's behaving in ways that you're like, what are you thinking? When you come to Mass and the community is an important part. Good point, Matt. Anything else?
I think just because it was something that my family always did, like it's something that we get to do, and it's something that's important to do for our faith. And really a love for the Eucharist that my family like promoted in my life. And just the love for the Eucharist. And once you really realize that when you go to Mass, you get to receive Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity, like you're going to want to go as much as you can. Mm-hmm. So just growing up, learning that really had a big impact on me. And I think especially because I always knew when I was little and growing up that if you missed Mass on Sunday, that it was a sin, you know, that it was a sin not to go to Mass once a week on Sunday. And, you know, that just stuck with me throughout the rest of my life.
And you didn't want to go to confession.
Yeah.
So. So it sounds like for you, Gabriel, all of that learning and talking just helped you mature into the faith, into an understanding and an appreciation. Let's move on to prayer. Let's talk about prayer, obviously another pillar of our faith and how we practice our faith. How have your parents modeled an active prayer life for you?
Well, on road trips, my family and I, we always pray the rosary once. And that's just something that I like, it was like implanted in my head, and it's something that I continue to do just because of that, especially as a kid.
My family does that too.
Yeah.
Does your family do that too? Mm-hmm. Our family does that too. Yeah.
Nice.
It's a great time killer, right?
Oh, yeah.
among other awesome blessings that come from it. So rosary on trips. Any other ways your parents have modeled an active prayer life for you guys?
Well, my parents just display, like, we pray every meal, or pray at every meal, pray before going to bed, just those things. And that was something I was taught when I was really little, and it's just
prayer
natural.
Is part of,
yeah,
daily routine. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, my next question was going to be, does your family pray together? So clearly you guys do, Erica, at meals, at bedtime, on car trips. Any other cool family prayer routines you guys have?
Just family rosaries, I think. You know, we try to do family rosaries, but we don't get them in as often as we should. But another really cool thing we did was we enthroned the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Immaculate Heart of Mary, the images inside our house, and that had prayers leading up to it and stuff. And that was awesome to do with our family. We just did that recently.
So your whole family was able to participate in that process.
Yes.
So now when you come into your home and you see the images of the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you all know exactly what that is and why they're there. And fantastic. So how about you personally? This kind of a personal question. So do you have an active prayer life individually, outside of what you do with your family?
Yes.
Their heads are nodding. I don't want people to suddenly panic. But and what did your parents do to foster this in you? Did they say, like I have to tell my son, you have to read your Bible tonight, you know? But now he knows. Now it was me telling him, so now he reads scripture every night, and my daughter as well, you know? So I don't know. Did your parents tell you, here's how you have an active prayer life, or did they show you? Or
I think for me, it was when, like, the praying before bedtime was something that my parents used to do with me, like, as when I was younger. But now it's just something I do on my own. So it's like they showed me and they did it with me until I could do it on my own.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. When they stopped tucking you in.
Right.
You took it from there. Yeah. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Raising Saints on AM 820. I'm Katie Wyatt, and we are here today with Gabriel, Matthew, and Erica, and we are talking about you. We're talking about awesome Catholic parents. We've talked about worship. We've talked about prayer. I actually wanted to ask you one more thing about prayer, which is, how has having an active prayer life, and therefore a relationship with Jesus, how has that made a difference in your life?
I think it's brought just joy into your life, you know, more. No matter what you go through and the different struggles in your life, having that constant prayer life and that relationship with Christ, you know, lets his love come into your heart and brings joy and peace into your life, no matter the different things you go through. And also gives you strength, not only to let yourself grow closer to him, but to bring others closer to him also, to stand up for what's important. And, you know, there's just so many struggles and so many temptations in our world, but having that constant prayer life gives you the strength you need to stand against those things and to face them in your faith.
Gabriel, do you think that you have a different response to things than other kids do, like kids who maybe don't have an active prayer life? Do you think you for example, when something goes wrong, or when you have stress, or when you know, when you're in a bad situation, or do you respond differently?
Yes, definitely.
Because of your relationship with Christ?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has that changed as your prayer life has matured?
Definitely. I mean, the more my prayer life grows, the more I grow in my prayer life, and the closer I grow to Christ, you know, the more peace I have and the more trust I put in him, no matter what happens. And the more I rely and the more I fall on him, you know, so.
What about Matthew, Erica, anything about how your, how having an active prayer life and a relationship with the Lord has made a difference in your life?
I find prayer like really comforting. If I go through like a hard time or something's wrong, something's going wrong, or just a stressful day, I really link to prayer because it's just, it's knowing that someone out there is looking after me, like knowing that Jesus has his eyes on me and he's like, I'm going to help you get through this. It's really comforting, and it's like almost like having someone there to give you a hug when you need one. Mm-hmm. That's what I like about prayer, because I find Jesus more of someone to help me get through the hard times, like a friend. And I think that's using prayer to experience that is cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to call you out, Matthew, because I follow Matthew on some social media because he's hilarious. I really, truly look forward to Matthew's post. And this is where I think your relationship with the Lord comes in a big way in your life. Mm-hmm. Because people around you can be tweeting and posting horrific things, oh, yeah. And you never respond in kind. Like, you can respond, and you're not, like, elevating yourself. You're not judging. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that it just really helps my decision-making, and it makes me think, you know, twice before I say something that would, you know, hurt another person or, like, hurt, you know, like, my future. I just think it's helped my decision making, and that's where you see on like social media stuff.
And the brilliance of it is that, and yes, I'm calling you brilliant, is that you're in the midst of it. You know, you're in this world, and you're part of your generation. You're participating, but you are not stooping. You're elevated. You know, in a non-judgmental, non. And I know that is because of your relationship with the Lord. And I know that's because of your upbringing. And I know that's because of your parents. So I want to point that out, because it's possible to do. I mean, I don't, yeah. Gabriel, I don't follow you on social media. You probably don't even use social media.
Not really.
And Erica, you too. I never see anything inappropriate or, you know, it's fantastic. It's a joy. So, okay. So we've talked about worship. We've talked about prayer. I want to move on to service, because it's also such an integral part of our faith. So, does your family serve together, or has you, you know, when do you have memories of doing things together as a family in service? Yeah. What, Gabriel?
I just know around, you know, the holidays around Christmas, we'll always do the giving tree at our church. And I remember going lots of times with my mom to pack groceries, for different centers for the poor and things, going and volunteering at soup kitchens. I've done that a couple of times, and especially lots of work in the pro-life movement and doing service for different pregnancy resource centers or pro-life organizations or things like that. So just lots of things that instill in you how important it is to give yourself to others and the greatness that we're really called to reach out to others and make a difference in the lives around us. It's been huge. So, and definitely with my whole family, my parents always make sure that my whole family is involved, mm-hmm. when we do something like that.
So it's a family, mm-hmm. event, a family project.
My family is really active with giving away clothes to kidney services. Just, mm-hmm. like, we always, something we do, we don't just sell our clothes. We make sure that we donate them. And I remember, like, we also help out during holiday season. And one specific memory for me is I had to get service hours for my confirmation. And I was going to it was a food bank, and we were helping give food and toys to families in need. And I was there on my own, and I was terrified. But my dad was like, "Do you want me to just drop you off?" And I was like, "Yeah, I guess so." But he ended up staying with me the whole time. And I like thought about it later that day, and I like cried because I was so thankful that my dad stayed there with me.
But partly because you were scared, but partly because you had always done service with, yeah. your dad before.
And it's just, yeah. I just looked up at him, and I was like, in awe that he stayed there and helped me, and that, yeah. like, I just pictured him in such a different view, because it was so, I don't know how to explain it.
What
it was just
cool,
amazing.
Though. That's a great memory. That's great to have that forever in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember once when we were little, we all got our Christmas gifts, and we all opened them. We were all excited, and we didn't get many Christmas gifts. We didn't have a lot of money. And after we all opened them, my parents said, okay, now pick one of your gifts. We're going to take, each one of you is going to wrap it back up and take it over to this family in town. We were all so torn because we knew it was the right thing.
Yeah.
But we were like, are you kidding me? You know, but it, I remember it forever. I mean, it was just really made an impact. So how have your parents imparted the importance of service and charity and justice and generosity? I mean, both through word and example. Can you think of anything specific that stands out in your mind that, I mean, you all know that service and justice and charity and generosity are an important part of our faith, but why do you know that? Or how do you know that?
Well, I looked into St. Thomas Aquinas, and one of the things he talks about is charity. And he says that we should treat all everyone like the same and give to the people who need it, because we were all made in God's image and that we're all the same in God's eyes. And that's one of the things that's made me want to help other people out, just because we're all the same in his eyes.
Just recognizing that you're not above anyone else just because you have more. Yeah.
I think for me, it's like my family, we reflect on how blessed we are and how thankful we are for the things that we have. And by reflecting on that, we realize that there are people out there that do not or are not as blessed as we are. And we need to help those people, you know, give to them and help them any way we can.
Mm-hmm. That's a great comment, because really you can't reflect on your blessings without reflecting on the fact that
there are people without them.
Right. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you serve, where do those opportunities come from? Like, do those come from things you do it through church, or things that your parents sort of put you into? Or
most of the opportunities that I see come from church, mm-hmm. and I just participate, I guess.
Same with you, Matt.
I would say things that the church is doing or that a youth group is doing, and also things that my family would choose to go and do. And also just a lot of the way my family lives simply, you know, not making a lot of money, but still living as simply as we can. So you can, you know, give so much money to charity or sponsor a child or build a house. And even though, like, we don't have enough money to do a whole lot, we still save what we can to do that. And just, you know, knowing that my parents have always done that growing up has been, you know, huge. So.
Plus, Gabriel, you just sort of create your own service opportunities.
Yeah.
This needs to be done. I'm going to do it. Do you think that service has impacted your life and your faith and just sort of your outlook on the world? Erica, you sort of alluded to this when you talked about just counting your blessings and recognizing, mm-hmm. but have you had experiences that have really made you really kind of open your eyes and made you realize what you have or how good God is in your life? Or
I remember we went on our church's gospel road trip, where we go to Vinton County and help rebuild homes and help anyone who needs help. And I remember we built a wheelchair ramp for a man who had recently lost his legs. And he, I wasn't there for it, which kind of bums me out, but I heard the story that he sat on the wheelchair ramp and just cried in awe, and how, because he was so thankful for what we had done for him. And that just, like, it warms my heart knowing that, like, I participated, I helped make something for someone that leaves them speechless just sitting on it. And
you had a blast doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a blessing that is. Okay, let's move on to morality. We just have a few more minutes, but I definitely want to touch on this. Do you think that you have a different moral code than most teenagers? I'm not saying brag, you know, put yourself above, but just in general, when you look around, you see how other, kind of the culture, the teen culture, do you feel like you have a different moral code?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What role have your parents played in forming this in you?
Almost all of it, I would say, because for anything, like, morally, I feel like I heard it from my parents first. Like, mm-hmm. they were the first ones to share that with me, and especially the importance of it. Like, just my parents are always so open, you know, ever since I was real little, about all the evils and things in our world and about how important it is for us to stand against them and, you know, how we are called to do that. So I think definitely my parents instilling that in me from an early age.
Anything to add to that? Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just what they've told you, what they've taught you, what they've modeled for you. It's very been very clear. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a long way off, but imagine yourself as a parent. In a nutshell, how do you think you'll teach your children, if God calls you to have a family, how will you teach your children about the faith? It's such a broad question. Just pick one thing. One thing you know you'll do for sure.
Put them in a youth group somewhere. Like, that's where I got the foundation of my faith, and that's definitely what I want my kids to do.
Okay.
Ditto.
I would say the family praying together, you know, whether that is just before grace or saying night prayers all together or a daily or a family rosary, whatever that is, praying together and just making sure my kids always know that our faith is our life, that we live our lives for our faith and that our faith is a center of our lives.
And everything flows from that.
Yes. Exactly.
And of course, you will all take your kids to Mass every weekend.
Yes.
Right? That's a given. You're like, why would you even ask? Yeah. Okay. Well, we have to go. We're out of time. So I want to thank you all for being here. I wanted to remind our listeners that if you have any topics you'd like us to address, any questions you'd like us to answer on the show, please send us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. And I want to thank you again for joining us, listeners. I want to thank you for joining us. I'd like to close in a short prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. Lord, we thank you for the gift of children. We thank you for the vocation of parenthood. Lord, we just ask that you open our hearts so that you can fill us with your Spirit so that we can make wise decisions and be great parents and put you at the center of our lives and our families. In your name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's it for today, but parents, until next time, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bye now. And I will